Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Miss On Fire to Inspire herself, Olivia Butler. I want to thank you all this beautiful Tuesday evening. You could have been doing anything else, but guess what? You chose to spend it with us, and for that, we are totally grateful. Again, I'm Olivia Butler, your host, and I'm so grateful that you're here with us tonight. Tonight's topic is victim to survivor to overcomer. And y'all know everything that I do, I'm empowering you and pushing you into your purpose and your passion, but it's all about equipping you and being that total best you. But before we jump into our show tonight, I want to thank our sponsors. We have Afographics, who does all of our photography and graphic needs. So if you need anything done from photography to graphics, business card design, flyers, whatever, anything that you've seen that is graphically done here is done through Afographics, and that's spelled A-P-H-O-G-R-A-F as in Frank, X as in X-ray. And they have a page on Facebook, as well as you can call them at 706-489-6416. I'm telling you, their team will take care of you over there. And then Vodiology takes care of all of our videos, infomercials, even the jingle. They redid our jingle, and our own songbird, Deidre Norvett, actually took care of the singing. You heard the vocals from her, but Vodiology actually did the writing and redoing of the music for that, and they have a page as well. That's V and then Audio, L-O-G-Y, and their number is 706-873-1519. All of our sponsors have Facebook presence. Deidre Norvett, again, is our songbird. Go out and support her with her EP, purchase of her EP on all of your digital outlets. It's only $4.99. Go out and get it. You get three songs for that price. Again, her name is Deidre Norvett, D-E-I-D-R-E, Norvett, N-O-R-V-E-T. I'm telling you, this young lady is living out her dreams, helping others do the same. You're never too old to walk out your purpose. And then we have our travel ambassador and business coach, lover, Elder Cornelia Brown. Elder Cornelia Brown is going to give you your personal access to your free travel portal. So it's like having access to your own Travelocity or something like that, and it's free. Give her a call at 404-786-0873. Again, call her at 404-786-0873. When she gives you access to your free portal, that is yours forever, and it is your access of your personal free travel club. So call her and leave her a message with your name and email address, or your name and telephone number, and she will take great care of you. And then last but not least, guys, don't forget to go out and get your copy of my book, my latest book, The 21-Day Mind Detox, because it's time for us to take out the trash, and be intentional about what we're feeding ourselves mentally. And so that it is an ebook. It's a devotional ebook, and it's only $2.99 on any digital outlets on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Smashwords, wherever they have online books, you can get it. So go out there and support, show your support. Well, thank you to each and every one of our sponsors. If you're interested in being a sponsor, email us at onfiretoinspire@gmail.com. We will actually advertise you on the show as well as on all of our different outlets for a small, small fee, trying to help you get more visibility. So, again, thank you so much for each and every person for your support. We thank God for you and praise God for you. Well, tonight's topic, again, is victim to survivor to overcomer. And I am so honored to have Miss Dr. Charmin Y. Anderson gracing our platform. Welcome to On Fire to Inspire. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. How about you?
I am great. I am great. We're so excited to have you tonight, and thank you for making time on your busy schedule to join us.
You're welcome. I'm so glad to be here, and thank you for even thinking about me and sharing your platform with me as well.
Oh, we love it. We love it. You know, I love to be able to bring people on that are not only had a story, but you're helping others, you know, find their voice. So thank you. So I want you to introduce yourself to the On Fire to Inspire audience.
Okay. Well, hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Charmin Y. Anderson, and I am a speaker. Some say I am a transformation speaker. Others say I'm an inspirational speaker. But to me, I am a speaker who is in the business of helping others help others. I do believe that in order for us to even make any possible change in this world, we have to be about that movement. And I know that I cannot do it by myself. So it is my job to inspire and activate as many people that I can so that they can become activate and continue to activate others as well. It's going to take a body, a whole lot of bodies, to be able to combat the things that we come against every day in our lives, and I just don't want to be responsible for doing it all because I'm only one person, and you know that is a lot of different people that we're trying to impact to make a difference in their lives. My main goal is to teach women how to take their circumstances and turn it into their superpower. I've been through a lot, and so I use my personal experiences and the things that have gotten me through to where I am at today. So I understand a lot more than what people think I do, and I'm so grateful that I don't look like everything that I've been through. And I'm excited to be here. So thank you so much again.
Yes, I love what you said about you help women turn that into their superpower?
Absolutely, their circumstances.
Their circumstances into their superpower. I love it. Thank you. Because sometimes people get so caught up in their circumstance that they lose them in their circumstances.
That is true.
Start to find them. Isn't that true?
That is true. Well, because, you know, honestly, we are, especially when it comes to women, because we are emotionalists. So we feel stuff all the time. And sometimes our emotions will get the best of us. And there's nothing wrong with feeling your pain or feeling what you're going through in the moment. But the problem comes in is when you stay there, you get stuck there. And my goal is to help you get unstuck so that you can go and help the other person get unstuck. Yeah.
Yes. Love it. Love it. So the topic tonight is victim to survivor to overcomer. What does the topic itself mean to you?
Well, for me, it's very personal. I look at everything that I've actually encountered. So when you look at my life, most people, if you don't know my story, I have been in a domestic violence situation. I've also had cancer twice. I've also had two strokes, and so I've also had two failed marriages. I also lost two twin girls to domestic violence, so I understand what it feels like to be in a moment where you just feel like the whole entire world is against you and everything is coming at you. So right there in that moment, you feel like a victim of the circumstances that you're currently going through, and then I understand what it feels like to go into survival mode where nothing matters, nobody matters. You don't have, you're not looking to be able to live, really. You're not looking to live. You just want to exist in those moments where you can continue to fight for everything that you need to, and then you forget about the pure essence of life. I know what that feels like as well. So my thing is to teach women that I encounter that have gone through any type of thing that it's okay for you to go through that. And, yes, and it's okay for you to fight back. But what happens when you all you know is fighting? You don't know how to live your life. You don't know how to love properly. You don't know how to allow people to come in because you're so busy fighting and looking behind your back that you forget to enjoy the pure essence of life within itself. So you no longer live, you just exist. And that's not what we were intended to be on this earth. We need to learn how to love each other in harmony and in peace. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is to be able to move through and move past the things that has been upon our lives to actually break us.
Wow.
And that's how I look at it.
I remember reading in your bio that you had cancer and you'd had a stroke, but I didn't realize that you'd had two strokes and had cancer twice and you've lost a set of
Yes.
Twins. Oh, my
goodness. Yes, yes, yes.
But you're empowering others.
Yes, yes. And so I share my story all the time. I get an opportunity to travel, and I absolutely love it. And every time that I get on stage to share my story, it's every time I get on that stage, I feel like I'm just overcoming. I'm overcoming, and I'm overcoming because now I'm not afraid to share my story. I'm no longer worried about what they're going to say or how they're going to look at me. I even have the opportunity to answer those hard questions because people always ask those hard questions. And a lot of those hard questions are some of the main reasons why people don't come forth in domestic violence situations or either share their personal story because of judgment.
That is so true.
So I'm willing to that if you judging me is going to make sure, if judging me is going to allow for you to be free, I'm okay with it because I'm beyond that now. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Yes. It doesn't bother me.
Yes, yes. So I also read that you have a nonprofit organization. How was that birth?
Well, I don't necessarily have a nonprofit organization. I work with nonprofits. I started them up. I started 207. And so everybody's still up and thriving. Yes, I love it. I love it. But I'm very particular about who. Yes, 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 yes. My goal is to finish the year out at 220. So hopefully, you know, I got my fingers crossed. But I only work with, I'm very mindful of who I work with. I turn people down all the time, and I miss a lot of money behind that. But my morals and standards is on a whole completely different level. I only work with people who is really about trying to help people because that's my passion. And if you're really trying to do something, just trying to beat the government or hire money, I'm not about that life. Now, you called me a couple years ago, I might have been about that life. But now, I'm being honest, though. I'm being completely honest. But now, you know, I'm saying I hold myself, my moral standards to a whole completely higher, different standard. So I don't have time to be playing those games. So I'm not one of those people that's going to talk, you know what I'm saying, and walk the walk. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to say what I mean and mean what I say. So I only work with certain people. If you ain't about helping people, and then I do my research too. I dig. I'm like, man, let me find out what you're doing. Let me see. Because I only want to work with people that really genuinely have a heart to help people because I need their help to help others. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I'm about, I play no games with that. I play no games with that. I love it. I so love it. And I'm running that 100%. Everybody that I've ever worked with has always gotten approved.
Me too. Now, I know with it being the month of October, everybody's keeping you pretty busy with the domestic violence portion. Now, is that relationship that you were in, was that like a long, you had been in a long for the abuse?
11 years. 11 years. 11 years. It wasn't always, I was in the, 11 years, and it wasn't always abusive. It would just be like moments. And then the moments went from long, long chapters, you know, and then the chapters went from like to almost like a novel type thing. And so my abuse, you know, started like a one-time thing, you know, like boom, you know, he hit me the first time and I was like, oh, okay, you know, so I separate. And then he comes back. And when I was a younger girl when I actually met him, so for me back in those days, you know, he had some change. He had a pretty penny of money. So, and for me, he kept me spoiled. And back in the day, you know, how cool was it back in the day to be a walking among your peers? You got the newest sneakers on, you got the newest clothes on. And back in those days, when I was a young girl, not really telling my age, Tommy Hilfiger was popping, you know. Tommy Hilfiger was popping. And so I had all the, you know, kept my hair done, my nails done. I kept, you know, like all the ladies wear. I mean, I was just flawless, so. And for me, that's what it really was all about. And so, you know, that's where I was at mentally. And a lot of young girls now are still in the same place. And so we break up, and then we get back together later. And then we're in a really serious relationship now because we're living together now. And we're chilling, and everything is going good. And then the drinking and the drugs start having a really major play. And then so during the week, he was really, 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 really good. Really good. I didn't have to worry about anything. It was only I got my butt with Fridays and Saturdays. Every Friday and Saturday, there was nothing I could do to try. I don't care how good I was, how nice I was, how many meals I cooked, or his favorite meals, how perfect I would be. It would be something insignificant that would cause me to get hit. So, and that was my life for a long time. Until I realized that I was pregnant, and I couldn't understand how in the world I could get pregnant because I already had two older children, and so the doctor had told me that I couldn't have any more kids, and I was excited about that because I didn't want any more. And so when I found that I was pregnant with twins, I was like, everything changed for me. So there was no more hitting or anything. He took it very serious. I got heavily into church, and so whenever the church doors was open, I was there. I would be the first one to run up to the prayer lines, right? And I paid my tithes faithfully. I overly paid my tithes because I needed God to bless me because I knew what I was dealing with. And at any given time, it could go left. So I remember my pastor telling me one time that God had heard my prayers, that my family was covered, and we was going to be okay. And so my partner was doing really, really amazing. He was doing really good. We was having family days. He was really good with my older two kids. He was really, you know, he was reading to the twins. So I'm very excited. He was at my appointment. So I'm very, very, very extremely excited. And then his friend comes into town. He asked me, can he go out to eat with his friend, go out? And I'm like, yeah, you know, he's been good for the first 5 months, right? So what could possibly go wrong? Nothing, because he's been really good. And I know what my pastor told me that God told him to tell me. So if my pastor said that God told him to tell me that, then that's what God was going to do. So he comes back. By the time he gets back in, he opens the door. I can smell the Tangeray. And back in those days, Tangeray was the choice of liquor. Tangeray was the choice of liquor. So I could smell it. And so I already knew that things was getting ready to turn around. So every Friday, he started right back up, going right back out, gambling, drinking, drugs. And so I went to my pastor a couple of weeks later, and I told my pastor that I needed to talk to him. I went in there on a Saturday morning. I never forget that. And the first thing I was beginning to tell him that I was in trouble and that I was concerned about my safety. And I didn't even necessarily ask him for help. And the first thing he said to me was, you know, the attendance is down. People ain't tithing like they used to, and we can't help you. I never really asked him for help. I was just talking to him, looking for guidance. And that's what he said to me. Then he followed up and told me that it would be an abomination against God if I left, right? So what did I do? I stayed because I felt like I was going to hell if I left. And that was like a major turning point for me in my whole entire life. And I remember after this, I felt so defeated. I felt like, man, I felt like nobody was there. Nobody loved me. I just felt like I was all alone. I had to do what I had to do to make sure that my children was going to be okay. So I became the yes woman. So whatever he needed, that's what he was going to do until I could give birth. And then me and my children was out. So when I got home after seeing my pastor, at that time, he wasn't there, so I cooked him his really good meal. His favorite meal was neck bones. I used to put a hurting on some neck bones, girl. I used to do that country fried cooking, yes. And so I had cooked his favorite meal. And by the time he got home later on that night, as soon as the door opened, the Tangeray hit me first. I knew. And as soon as I saw him, I knew that I felt like I was going to die that night. I knew it was over. I just didn't know what it was. So I was trying to be nice, even though he was fussing. I was trying to be nice. You know, if you want something to drink, you want some water. He wanted to go out. He wanted my car keys, and I wouldn't give him the car keys. And he wanted them. And so we was going back and forth. And I was like, well, what I do is I drive you wherever you want. If you want to go to the club, I would grab the kids, wrap them up real good, throw some blankets in the back seat, and we would sit out there until you were ready to leave. I just wanted to make sure that you got back safe because he was the breadwinner of the family.
Right.
So, and it just didn't go there. It just didn't go that way. And then next thing I know, there go the first blow. I end up taking, sustaining 28 blows. He ended up, you know, it was between the hits, the punches, the kicks in the stomach. He was intentionally trying to make sure that I had lost some babies. And so by the time I got up off the floor, I remember reaching for the door, and it seemed like I could get to it, but I just couldn't get to it. It seemed like I was trying to reach to it, and then I went back. He had grabbed my hair and pulled me back and drug me in the master bedroom and threw me in the closet, and I stayed in there for 3 days.
Oh, my goodness.
And, oh, yeah. So he was, it was definitely, definitely horrible. And so now I have, I never forget when I woke. So how they found me in the closet is my neighbor knew that something wasn't right, because she had seen me in a couple of days, and we talked every day. And we would do this thing like a check-in. So, you know, I would check in with her, you know, doing various times of the day, because she knew that he was kind of crazy. Especially on the weekend or whatever.
Right.
And so she knew that I hadn't checked in. She didn't see me the whole weekend. And then she kept coming to the house trying to look for me. And he told her that I had went out of town. And she was like, no, she wouldn't go out of town without telling me. Anything that Charmin do, she's about to make a move, she's going to make sure I know where she's at. Because we had this thing, this bond, right? So she knew something was wrong or something happened, that he did it. She already knew that, right?
Right.
And so she kept coming back and forth to looking for me, and I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't say anything because I was scared for my oldest two kids, and he had already threatened them. I was like, Lord, I just got to get through this. So finally I don't know how many calls she made out to she made out to all the different people that she called. But next thing I know, the police came, fire department came, the sheriff was out there, the ambulance was out there, and they were all looking for me because they knocked on the door. But I could hear them talking, and he told them he didn't know where I was at. So my neighbor, she was hollering and screaming and saying, he's lying. And then she tells the policeman to look at my daughter. So the policeman looks at my daughter. My daughter is crying and shaking at this point because she's scared to death. So the policeman picks my daughter up, walks away with her a little bit, and he tells her that I'm trying to save your mama. You know, so if she's here, I'm trying to help her. So if you know where she is, just tell me. So my daughter points to the master bedroom. They come back in and tear the whole entire room up. And then they realize that the bedroom was, the bed was pushed up against the wall, and he had it draped off, so it looked like, you know, just like some decorations. So when they pulled the bed out, they realized it was a closet door there, and they got the bolt cutters and cut me out. And then I woke up in the hospital. Yeah. And so that's when they had to tell me that my twin girls, they didn't make it, that they actually died. And I was so devastated. I was so, so devastated.
How far along?
I was 6 months. Yeah.
Wow.
And I was so devastated because I just couldn't understand, like, why God would give me these girls, and I wasn't never supposed to have any babies anyway, any more babies. How would he give me something and then take it away from me all in the same time? So I was so mad. I was mad with God. I pretty much denounced him. You couldn't come to me and talk to me. and say anything to me about God. Like I was just in a really bad space. I was hurting, and so when I got out of the hospital, in order for me to get myself together, I bought all that pain up, all that frustration, all of that stuff. I didn't even mourn my girls until about 2 years ago. All that stuff, almost over 2 decades of just pain, just sitting there festering. And I put it in a box and put it on the back shelf so that I could take care of my older two kids. And then I kept getting sick. I kept getting sick after that, between the migraines. Then I have cancer, and then I have a stroke, and then I have another stroke, and then I have cancer. And so these ailments kept coming up, and I just couldn't understand why in the world I kept having all these ailments. And so for me, I felt like when you don't deal with a lot of the pain and trauma that a person mm-hmm. goes through, you just sit there and allow it to fester or just refuse to deal with it, it manifests itself in other stuff. And for me, mm-hmm. my pain and my trauma was manifesting itself in illness.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I just share that story with, you know, women to let them know that I didn't die. You know, I did more than just survive. I get to share my story. And every time I share it, you know, I'm overcoming it still on a constantly basis, because I have to go backwards every time I tell my story. You know what I'm saying? I literally have to go back there. And then they get to see me overcoming. So sometimes I cry. Sometimes I get emotional with it. But this mm-hmm. is them seeing me come through. And then a lot of times people think they're alone in this. And they're not. They're not, and I'm here, you know, to do whatever it is I can do to assist them in the process, because it's hard, you know, it's really hard when you get stuck in that type of situation. And people ask you all the time, why did you stay, or why you ain't call nobody? I said, didn't you hear me say I called, went to my pastor, and what he said to me? And if my pastor would say to me, what is somebody else going to say? You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. for me, I was just out there, you know, like, out there for real, like by myself, struggling, trying to get myself together, trying to figure out what I was going to do. So it's hard for people, you know, as a person who's actually been through domestic violence. I tell people all the time to be mindful of your judgment when it comes down to this situation, because you don't know what that person is going through. You don't know mm-hmm. what the reason that they're staying. And a lot of reasons that they end up staying is because their pocketbook ain't right.
Yeah.
But usually, you know, the abuser is the breadwinner anyway. So he's got control over everything. So it's easy mm-hmm. to judge somebody, you know, about what may happen in the news or whatever. We don't know the backstory of it. So we have to be mindful of what we judging, because we don't know why they did what they had to do. Because there's always a story there. You know, we just have to be willing to listen and read it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I know exactly what you're saying. I've always been a person to motivate and encourage people, and I used to go into domestic violence situations and things of that nature. And what I do know is, you don't tell a woman to leave unless you have a place for her to go. You have a back that plan, that escape route and plan for her. You can't tell her to leave, because her life, her livelihood, her life can be on the line, you know. And so many people can tell you what to do, but they can't really, unless they're walking in those shoes, they can't tell you, you know. So being in those situations to be able to speak life to those women, you know, that just to hear some of their stories, you're like, wow. So when did you get to the point, Sharman, that you finally forgave God? Because you were just angry with him.
Oh.
Where were you? At what point did you get to that point?
Before I forgave God, I had to get to a point that I had to forgive myself, because there mm-hmm. was no room for me to forgive him at all.
Mm-hmm.
So before I can even get to that point, I had to start with me first. And I know a lot of people may possibly say that's crazy. But for me, it wasn't, because I was a broken record, and I had to get my mind completely and mentally put back together, right? And some of the broken mm-hmm. pieces that I was trying to put back together mm-hmm. wasn't supposed to go back together in that particular puzzle. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times when we are considered to be broken, we want to put the broken pieces of our lives back together. And for a long time, that's what I was trying to do, not even realizing that a lot of the broken pieces no longer felt fitted the puzzle that was being molded and that I was being shaped for. And so for me, I had to understand that sometimes you have things have to happen in order for you to get to the next level. Now, for me, I had to forgive myself first. And once I got myself together, I began to kind of replay some things that happened. I began to have some things, and I was so mad because I thought he had left me. But then I remember, oh my goodness, I remember my second battle with cancer, because I'm still mad with God at this moment, still mad with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I got myself together, because now it's no longer my fault, it's his fault.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's totally blind. So I remember the second time that I had cancer, I had breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, you know what? I was like, I'm not doing chemo, because the first time I had uterine cancer and I did chemo. And it was the worst experience for my children.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest son don't really remember a lot about it, whatever. He remembers being sick, but he doesn't really. But my oldest daughter, she remembers what it feels like to come home from school and have to go directly into caretaker mode.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so out of it, and I still don't want to put them through that again, you know, because it was hard for them, you know, it was hard for me, but just kind of watching them have to go through the motions, it's really harder for them, because they have to be the one to watch you go through that stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so for me, when I was going through my second battle of cancer, I had made it like, I'm not doing chemo. God, this is what it's going to be. If I'm going out, then you might as well go and take me. And that's what I did. And that's my attitude. Until one day, and I didn't even tell anybody that I had cancer the second time. I walked around for 6 months chilling with cancer in my boob, right? Just chilling, right? And so when I finally went to my doctor's appointment, I told him that I wasn't going to do chemo. And so one of the things I do is read. So I wanted to kind of figure out some other things I could do. And so for me, I researched it, and I came up with, like, my own plan of what I thought would work for me and my body. And so they really wasn't feeling it, because, you know, chemo is a really big business. You know, you get like $22,000 for a round. That's a lot of money, right? A whole lot of money. And so I remember going into my radiation, my first radiation treatment, and the lady looked at me and said, Ms. Anderson, is there anybody here with you, you know, just in case something goes wrong? Just in case something goes wrong, then we can, you know, we can let them know. We can call. I just want to write their name down, you know, all the information. So when I went to go look back, there was nobody there with me, right? And I just bust into tears. And I remember sitting down. Well, she said to me, she's like, I'm going to give you some time to get yourself together. And I said, thank you very much. And I remember sitting down. And I just, when I sat down and chatted, I just felt this really big, amazing presence just come across me and just hug me real, real tight. Real tight. That was the first time that I felt like God was really there. You know what I'm saying? And so then the second time is that when I went into surgery, they told me, they said, well, Ms. Anderson, well, we want you to know that by the time we open you up, you'll probably be in stage 4. And I was like, okay, cool. It is what it is. So I was like the worst patient ever. I was supposed to go in there with no lip gloss on, but I had on lip gloss. I had my nails done. I was like, I'm going out. I'm going pretty, you know. So that was my mentality on it. And so when they got me into surgery and they opened me up, they did the surgery. And then when I woke up, it was so many doctors there. It was so many doctors there. So many doctors there. And I knew that it was like, this was it. And it was like, when they got in there, they could pick the cancer out like dry dirt. Like it was like pebbles in my boot. Pebbles. That was the moment that I knew that God really was showing up and showing, because I should have been. I wasn't even a stage 1. That's how crazy it was. And so that's when I began to understand now that a lot of the things that I've been through has nothing to do with me. But God already knew that I was going to get up and continue to fight. He knew that I don't care how many times that I got knocked down, what I've been through, what happened. He knew that I was going to somehow get myself together and continue to push through. I didn't realize that this whole entire time, my whole entire life, that I had been fighting, hadn't even realized that I had been fighting for me the whole entire time. I had to sit back and kind of replay some of the things that I was doing. I was like, man, I was fighting for me way back then, didn't even realize it. I just had closed myself off through the battle. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Not even realizing. I just closed that connection off. But he knew that I was coming back. He knew that I was going to get it together. He knew. He knew. So he was just waiting for me to realize that he had been there the whole time. And then I remember having a conversation. I was like telling him that how I felt so lonely and how I felt so deserted that those days, you know what I'm saying? I just felt like he left me in the closet. And he said, well, Charmin, who do you think would not let your neighbor go to sleep and would just kept throwing, you know, making her feel anxious? She kept coming back and forth, knocking on that door. Who do you think that was? It was me. Who do you think gave your daughter courage to a point? And she was scared because my daughter had already peed on herself. She was that scared, but she had the courage to point to me that day. You where I was at today. He was letting me know that was me. That was me.
Wow.
And ever since then, I'm straight God. I'm like, yes, G-O-D, you can. I'm straight God. And I still go through stuff. I still go through ailments, and I still go through things every day. But I'm still showing up for Charmin because I am, for me, I'm my greatest asset. And can't nobody fight for me like me. Can't nobody pray for me like I can pray for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with people praying on my behalf, but can't nobody pray for me and my needs like I can. People keep waiting for everybody else to pray for them, but God is waiting for you to pray to him about yourself because he's trying to get that relationship. I didn't realize what he was trying to do with me until I got it. And I was like, whoo, I'm so glad I didn't get it so late. Because some people get it so late, they don't have that chance.
Right. Right. That is so true. So, Charmin, at what point did you say, I'm no longer a victim to this, whether it was the sickness or the domestic violence or whatever, I'm no longer a victim. I'm no longer a survivor. Now I've moved into that overcomer mode. At what point did you shift, you know, making it? And you can just tell us from, you know, how you shifted from into each gear, if you want to.
Well, when you first go through it, you're the victim. You're the victim then, you know, and it has to sit and resonate what you've really been through. And so for me, I had to go all the way back through it because I never really dealt with the victim part of it. I had put all those emotions and anger and hatred in a shelf and put it on the back. And that's where it was in my little Pandora box. It wasn't until about 2, maybe 3 years ago that I had to open that box and deal with all those pains and emotions that I never gave myself the opportunity to deal with. So I had to relive what it felt like to be locked in that closet. I had to relive what it felt like for the doctors and nurses to come in there and tell me that my children had died, right? So I had to relive all those emotions. I had to go from that point and acknowledge. So when I started to acknowledge what was happening, I began to move from victim to survivor. Now, the crazy part is surviving has always been my thing. I can survive anything. But I wanted to do more than just survive because I forgot what it felt like to be loved. I felt like what it felt like to be touched, you know what I'm saying, like that gentle touch. I forgot what it felt like for somebody to want something from me and don't want anything back. I forgot what it felt like to smile. I forgot what I looked like, the things that I really liked. Because it was easier for me to mask and become a chameleon to everybody else versus finding out who I was. Because finding out who I was, I didn't know if I was going to like myself. So it was easy for me to stay in survivor mode. Because me being in survivor mode, I would never stop. I would never stop thinking. I would never stop thinking about what's going to happen next or what I can do next. to get to the next level or to continue to do this and continue to, I will have, being in survival, being in overcoming mode means I'm going to have to stop and enjoy my life. That means I'm going to have to stop and smile. That means I'm going to have to stop and breathe in and exhale. That was like the hardest thing for me to do. When I begin to share my story and stop being afraid of what everybody else is, was going to say, I begin to overcome one day at a time. Now, if I don't want to do something, I don't do it. Now, I wake up in the morning and remind myself that's how, just how dope I am. I have my own powerful affirmations that I created for myself on a daily basis. You're going to say, and I talk to myself. I have positive self-talk to myself. I make sure that I start my day off positive, even if it goes whack in the middle of the day. I started off positive, and I still ended positive because I believe that what we put out into the universe, the subconscious mind believes it, right? And so the conscious mind and subconscious mind, the conscious mind and subconscious mind, they have a connection, and we are the mastermind between the two. We just got to learn how to connect the dots so they can flow in sync with each other. Every time that I get an opportunity to share my story, that is me overcoming. Every time I get to help somebody else get out, that is me overcoming. Every time I get to somebody say, "Miss Charmin, you changed my life," that is me overcoming. I know that I live a life of service, and without service, I mean, with service comes sacrifice. So every day, and it's a hard, pill to swallow. But I know what it feels like now to smile, to giggle, you know, to look at myself, and I like what I see. I like what I see. Absolutely, right. I love me some me. Yes, and I tell myself every day I love me some me. Yeah.
And you don't look like what you've been through. Praise God.
No, but girl, I got good hair in there, so I'd be like, thank you, cancer, for the good hair. All I got to do is throw some water up there. I be only, girl. No more purrs for me. No, girl, it feels good to be able to rub your fingers through your hair and not get caught up in the kinks. Hallelujah for that one, Jesus. I'd be so grateful.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I know people are tickled with how you can laugh and help them laugh.
Now, yes, so yes.
What would you say to that woman that's listening, where they're listening live, they're listening by radio, they're listening by phone, or they're listening to the recording, and they're like, I hear your story. You lived and overcame what I'm currently in, and I am ready to go. I'm ready to move forward. What would you say to that woman that is, she's now ready to move, but she don't know how to get started? How would you direct her at this point?
At this point, I would congratulate them on being ready, because it takes a whole bunch of courage to be ready. You know how many people be like, I'm leaving, and they go back? I wish I could bridge that gap right there. Then when they leave, they just never come back. But majority of the time, they always go back, right? But to be able to say, I'm ready, that's a different thing. That takes some serious courage. So I would commend them first. Secondly, I would tell them to make sure they begin to do their research and connect with the local people that's in their community. There are there are domestic violence centers. There are a 1-800 number, SAFE, where you can call and to help get you to transition you out. But you have to be willing to do the work. You know, like a lot of times I didn't know. And the reason why I didn't know, because I was taught that whatever goes in your household stays in your household. So I couldn't tell people that I was getting beat like that, because that's not how I was raised. And, you know, that cycle right there, that's why a lot of people are messed up right now.
That's so true.
So get in contact, learn your resources right there. And if you need me, call me. I can connect you with some resources, some people, especially if you're locally. And if you're not locally, I definitely would do the research for you, because I am so proud that they are ready, because it takes a lot to get there. But I also believe, you know, I was listening to Ayana, and she was like, when it hurts bad enough, they'll leave. So I'm just excited. So when people call me and say that, I've seen times where I would go in my closet. They'd be like, "Miss Charmin, I got a job. I got my first job interview. I was like, oh, man, I'm so excited. I was like, I don't got nothing to wear. No problem. Come right over here and get you some clothes. What size you wear? I can go out there and buy them something. It didn't make a difference. I would just be so excited because once you come out, you have to now relearn your independence.
That's true.
And that is a hard thing to do. But I'm just so excited to be on the health side. And I don't want anything back. I just love to see when people are regaining their independence, their strength back. And then they can smile and know that they're going to be okay. And they're going to live to see another day. You know what I'm saying? It's just an amazing thing. But get to know your resources. Get to know who's in your community. Get to know where everybody is located at. Because back then I didn't know, but now I know. I know everybody in my community, you know, and then that's the case when people in my local community connect with me, that I'm able to give them the stuff that they need or make sure that I can connect them with somebody that can assist them further. Because at the end of the day, I'm still one person, but I'm one person with multiple connections. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. What state are you located in?
I'm in Virginia, Chesapeake, Virginia, home of the lovers.
All right, you are in Virginia. I didn't pick up an accent, so I was trying to pick it up. I didn't pick up an accent at all.
No, I am countryfied all day long, honey. Yes, I'm country.
I didn't, I picked up a little southern, but not a country accent because, you know, I'm from South Carolina. I tell people I'm a Georgia, South Carolina. So I've heard country. But you didn't sound like, you know, what I'm used to hearing when I think of country. So Sharon, what do you have coming up now? Because I know, well, tell us about your book real quickly.
Okay, so my first book is called Behind My Smile, Every Woman's Worst Nightmare. It is an Amazon best-selling book. It made Amazon best-selling list in 15 minutes, and I cried like a baby because I could not believe. Thank you. My second book is about to drop October the 22nd. And it talks, and that is called When Dead Flowers Bloom. So it's the second part of the first book. So it talks about When Dead Flowers Bloom.
When Dead Flowers Bloom, okay.
Absolutely. So it talks about what happens after when I wake up in the hospital, and it brings you from there. And then it's to where I'm at now. And I started out real raw, because I just write real. I write from an emotional standpoint, and I don't want to lie. So I'm telling you exactly how I felt, where my feelings was, how, you know, this is just what it was at that time. And people really appreciate that because people don't really say what they really feel. They just like, I should have said so and so and so. I'm not one that I said so and so and so in this book. So it's a really good book. It's a really good read. The reviews that I've gotten so far from the people that I've submitted to already, they've loved it. So I'm very excited to see. And I got my fingers crossed hoping that it will make Amazon bestseller list again. So
It will. I
believe so. And so I'm pretty much booked up for the rest of the month. So doing domestic violence events and speaking engagement. And then I just got notified that I got the Citizen of the Year award from the Fraternity Brothers in Virginia Beach. So I'm very excited about that. I was like, oh, man, yes. I was like, that's like, oh, Sherman's going to be packed. I was like, for real? I was like, I'm about to find me a husband then.
I love your personality, but I'm so happy
you.
For you. And I'm so proud how you are using your story to glorify God and still help others. You know, because a lot of times people want to go into a shell, and in that shell you can't help anybody. But you said, I gotta help somebody else. So I love it. Absolutely love it. Wow. So how will they be able to follow you, contact you, so they can see all the great things that you got going on, what you got coming up, and, you know, things of that nature, because they need to go out and support. Is that October 22nd, you said?
Absolutely. No, it's October the 26th. My book signing is going to be October the 26th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. in Barnes & Noble's in MacArthur Mall, located in Norfolk, Virginia. They can follow me on all social media, Dr. Charmin Y. Anderson, or either Charmin Y. Anderson. They're looking to contact with me or get into one of my coaching program. All they got to do is just email me or just go through my website, and I get the information that way. So either way, just follow me on all social media. Definitely look at my YouTube and go from there. Yeah, I'm really easy to just find, though. I'm really easy to find. But I'm all about helping people, all about helping people. And I'm all about helping those people that a lot of times people forget about.
Right.
I like the people that people forget about.
Mm-hmm.
The underdogs, that's what I call them. Yeah.
I
love working with people like that. Yeah.
You know, I love to be able to help people find their voice again.
Yes.
And that's what you're doing. You're actually being that person to help them find their voice again. And in some cases, you're speaking for them, you know, why they can't speak, why they're speechless. Yes, I'm loving it.
I'm having a good time, amazing time doing it. It's so amazing. I don't take it for granted, and I'm just grateful, you know, for the opportunity to be able to do something like that. If I could, man, I would just save the whole entire world. But I'm only one person, and we got all, it's a bunch of people here, so I got to activate some other people to help me out.
Exactly. So, Charmin, I'm actually trying to put your contact information again on my page, on Friday and Star page.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, this is my pleasure. Can you repeat that for me one more time?
They can go to my website at www.charminyanderson.com. They can email me at admin@charminyanderson.com if they're looking to hire me, book me, just need someone to talk to, consultations, and make sure they follow me on all social medias. I'm on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. I'm not on Tumblr, and I can't figure out that Snapper thing, so I'm just regular.
I be trying the Snapper thing.
I be trying to figure it out. It don't like me, and I don't like it either.
And so you're on all of the other platforms as Dr. Charmin Y. Anderson?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Make sure you follow me on my Instagram. And I'm trying to get into social media, but I'm so not a social media person. Ooh. I like to touch people, but you know, my manager was like, "You got to get on social media. You got to talk to the people." And I'm like, "I do talk to the people. I talk to them when I see them." Girl, stop! People need to be. So we be going back and forth about it.
She's right. You gotta reach the people beyond Virginia, because there are people in Georgia, there are people in South Carolina, there are people internationally that need to hear it. You know, what the enemy wants you to do is feel like you're in this by yourself. But to hear your story, people know that, wait a minute, somebody else has been through this, and they made it out, and they're helping others. Oh, well, then I can do this too, you know. So, yes, ma'am.
You're right. I really appreciate you so much and sharing your platform with me and giving me the opportunity to just talk a little bit, because I love to talk.
Well, we thank God for you and sharing with us this evening. I've truly enjoyed your interview. You've been a blessing. And y'all go out and mark your calendar now for October 26th to go out and get her new book, because I know it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a bestseller, as the first one was. And the recording will actually be available in about 5 minutes from when we end the show. So if you have some people that missed it, they can actually go back and listen to the link and still be able to hear it.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. What would be your final words to the listeners, your final words for them to hear tonight?
That please don't forget that you are important to you, that you are your greatest asset, and that your value and your worthiness is not based upon a number. And don't forget that the main person that is counting on you is you. And that's all I got to say.
All right. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you again for joining us tonight. We look forward to hearing from you again with some great, great, great things, ma'am.
All right. You have an amazing night, okay?
All right. You too. And don't hesitate to reach out to me if you need me.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. You too, okay?
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Guys, if y'all missed any of this great interview, you definitely want to go back and listen to it with Dr. Charmaine Y. Anderson. I tell you, the lady has a testimony, and she's helping others despite what she's been through. I mean, I've never met a person that has such a lively, full of life attitude after cancer twice, losing a set of twins at 6 months pregnant in a domestic violence situation where she was basically tortured and left for dead, but God. And so we just give God praise for her tonight, for her testimony, for her being able to help others. And she's helped 220 people start their nonprofits, and they're all still thriving. And so her new book is coming out on October the 26th. So go out and support. I have posted her information on the On Fire to Inspire Network page on Facebook. So please go out and look her up, follow her on Instagram, Facebook, and things of that nature. And again, if you're interested in being a sponsor to On Fire to Inspire, email us at onfiretoinspire@gmail.com. Thank you again to all of our sponsors. We have Afographics, who's our graphic design and photography. They take care of all of our graphic design and photography needs. They will also take care of yours. And that's Aphograph, as in Frank, X as in X-ray. Or you can call them at 706-489-6416. Vodiology takes care of all of our infomercials, videos, and our jingle. And they're the word audio, A-U-D-I-O, and then L-O-G-Y. Their number is 706-873-1519. Again, they have a Facebook business page. And then we have travel ambassador and business coach, Elder Cornelia Brown. And Elder Brown will be able to give you your personal access to your free travel portal. It is lifetime access, and she will give you your own personal one for free. So call her at 404-786-0873 for your own travel club participation and your own travel portal. 404-786-0873 with Elder Cornelia Brown, and leave her your name and email address or your name and phone number. She'll take care of you, tell her you heard it right here on Fire to Inspire with any of our sponsors. And again, if you're interested in being a sponsor, email us at onfiretoinspire@gmail.com. If you haven't gotten On Fire to Inspire, not On Fire to Inspire, but yeah, that is a book as well. It's out on all of your social media digital outlets, and the 21-Day Mind Detox. You want to take that book, get that ebook. It's only $2.99. Go out, get your copy, read a page a day, and shift your mindset. Take out the trash and put in the new. Be intentional about what you're feeding yourself. Be intentional about living out a life of purpose and the things that God has called you to. And also, finally, our songbird, Ms. Deidre Norvette, please go out and get her EP entitled This Is Me on all digital outlets as well. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us on Fire to Inspire tonight. You have had a great time with us. We've had a great time with you, and we've had a great time with Dr. Charmaine Y. Anderson. So we'll be back same time, same place next week. I am Aaliyah Butler, your host, Miss On Fire to Inspire. Love you guys, and have a great week. Good night.